Hi, and welcome to the Quantum McGregor's call tonight. And it's you and I, Christine. Hi.
Hi. No way. Bye.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people show up later, so we'll see, because, like, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, it's you and I for now.
Oh, cool. Cool.
That was a great thing that you brought up on the Revitalize call. Very, 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 very good.
Yeah, I just want
to... Bummer that you had to go through it, but really, really good teaching.
Yes, I want to just be, I'm more committed now to following my IGS, following my heart, and not letting the static of the outside world get in my way.
Good. Fantastic. Yum, yum.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what the big openings are. It's just, you know, listening for the more subtle.
Yeah.
Guidance.
Yeah.
It takes practice.
It's important, you know, but it's hard to do when you have other people's opinion in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they're really, you know, attached.
It is. It's hard to follow our own path. And I have to remind myself, too, though, that if I'm following my IGS, it's going to be the best thing for everybody around me, too.
Yes, and it was, you know, you probably saw that this weekend. It would have been better for everybody, you know, to not have to have you be sick, and there was, you know, the whole thing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
gets me through it.
Yeah. It's just, well, and I do feel like I'm getting ready for something big. I've been cleaning my house, and I mentioned this, I can't remember which call it was on, but, you know, I have this group of friends, we do this monthly phone call, and I have found myself not looking forward to the call and it feeling more like homework instead of fun. And,
yes, you mentioned
you
that.
You had suggested, yeah, and you yeah. suggested, well, why don't you throw it out there? So and it was interesting, the last call I was the chairperson, so it was... you know, I kind of threw it out in the beginning. I said, hey, you know, I just want to throw this out, and then maybe we can talk about it at the end of the call. I said, you know, I tried to be really positive. I said, I'm finding that I'd like to have more time for personal sharing. We read a book and answer questions about the book. And it's just feeling like homework. I didn't say that, but I just said, no, I was just wondering if we might want to mix it up a little bit and, you know, maybe have a longer call or just shorten the time when we talk about the book and have more time for personal, you know, just to catch up with each other's lives, because it's really the only time I have contact with everybody. I'm not really one to be making a lot of individual phone calls, and this is a group of, there's five of us on this call, and we're all across the country. And it was funny, the person who started the group was like, I'm happy with the way it is. One other person said she would be open to change, and then the fourth person on the call didn't speak to it, and the fifth person wasn't on the call. So... I didn't really feel, well, there was no change forthcoming just from that suggestion. So I was thinking I might call the person who wasn't on the call. But, you know, just this thought of, why am I doing this? Am I enjoying this? You know, just kind of like.
Yes. It's really
important.
Walking
through my life going, you know, maybe. I've kind of been thinking, you know, I'm so involved in Al-Anon, and I've kind of been thinking, like, this was the Al-Anon weekend I was at. And thinking, well, maybe I've outgrown that. You know, why am I doing this? Am I still getting stuff out of it, or is it just like habit? You know, that momentum of habit, just you just do it because I've always done it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's challenging because I have had to go through a couple phases of my life letting things go like that. And, you know, it's hard at first, and then I know I made the right decision because I was released. And then it's now years later, and I see things happening on Facebook, and I realize that I'm good to just watch it on Facebook. I'm not really feeling the need to dive in there.
Be with those people,
that's the, yeah.
Yeah. yeah, so that's where I'm kind of like just questioning and – you know, I went back to work. I was off sick several days, and then I went back one day, and then I worked from home in the morning, and I went on my weekend, and I'm back at work Monday, and I'm not feeling good. And when I don't feel good, I'm kind of crabby just in general. So,
mm-hmm.
like, I really don't want to be at work. I'm not enjoying the work. I mean, is it awful? No, but it's like, this is not where my heart wants to be. So I don't, you know, I'm praying that they'll let me go, lay me off. I don't know. I don't know what, but I just keep thinking, you know, maybe letting go of some of these things like friends or, you know, just letting go of stuff out of my house. I'm just going to be making room in my life for the next thing, whatever that is.
Well, I think that's the key, though. I think that there is a next thing coming, and you can, and usually, and you don't want to, here's my suggestion. You want to take action when it opens you and not, how do I put it, not stay too long, because that's when things start going wrong. Mm-hmm. So if you're waiting for them to lay you off, but you really know you're done, if you stay longer than the universe wants you there, things are going to start getting strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's important to just be aware of that. I'm just letting you know. And what I mean by strange is some big contract or some big thing will happen where you have to go through this huge, it's going to just get more, it's going to get more and more awful. That's basically how it works. It just gets more and more and more. Yes,
you know,
exactly. It pushes you into making that decision. Exactly. I couldn't say it any better. If you're closed and you don't want to be there anymore and you're going through all of this, and you got to check in and really look at, is it open you to leave? You know, there's a lot of things in your life that will make up the difference in that percentage that you would be getting for your retirement.
Yeah.
And you may find that you make even more not working with all the things you and your husband have going on in your life than
right.
you would have sitting in that office.
Right. So, yeah, and I think, you know, this weekend and being so frustrated with going even though I was closed, I'm thinking about Ellen, longtime Ellen, who was at the weekend in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had talked to her, and she talked about in the beginning when she was working with her IGS, she just kept asking, I can't remember the word she used, but like awareness. Like she wanted to be aware and conscious. And that's what I think I'm going to start, like setting this intention of being aware of my IGS, being aware of, do I really want to be here? Is this time to leave? Like I kind of, that's what I'm focusing on is, okay, is it time to make a decision? Like being aware
mm-hmm.
of, you know, being in touch with, when do I need to leave? And because this would be a situation where I would be in great conflict with my husband.
Yes,
I
know.
I'm 26 months away from a 30-year pension, and I want to leave now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will need to have great – I will really need to be in contact with my IGS and quite confident to
yes.
make that kind of decision. So that's kind of,
on the Revitalize call, right? Usually when you have a big movement in your IGS path, you'll have it again.
Good, yeah.
There's going to be more practice.
It.
More practice, more practice, yeah. more practice. And it may be a conversation that takes a few months once it started.
Yeah. Well, and this was a good lesson of, you know, you really didn't want to go and you went anyway and it was a pooper. Yeah.
Yep.
So I want to remember that. I mean, it's a good turn my being mad at myself into good lesson. Okay, that was good. I got a lot out of that experience.
Yep. Yep, and when it's good for you, it is good for everyone else, even if they can't see it in the beginning. And you'll notice, I mean, if he's coming from an opening there, he's feeling grounded and secure and open in the fact that you should continue with your work,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's one thing. But you'll notice that he may be closed and coming from
mm-hmm.
his closing, and then you begin working with the conversation from there. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me what it is about this that worries you, what fear you have. And whatever comes up, it's closing him, so it's about, you know, working the conversation into more of an opening. Well, just think about for a minute. Think about what if we made more money with me not being in there than I would have done, and it would have been a waste of 26 months. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. And then have him think about it for a minute and watch him open. Think about all the ways, you know, that kind of a thing. 2 years is a long time, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah.
It is a long time, yeah.
It is a long time. It's a long time, especially when you're unhappy.
A long time. Yeah, and when life is so short. So
yes.
I'm totally manifesting this safari. I was checking airfare, and I was checking the Londolozi Safari, and they don't have prices for the safari online, but you can send an inquiry. So I sent an inquiry, and I just thought, I'm going to be looking at and there's pictures, the most beautiful animals, these leopards. And it's just, when I think about it, talk about a big opening, and I just think about being with the animals. I want to go, and I want to see, I want to look in the eyes of, mm-hmm. like, the most beautiful creature, just a wild, innocent, gorgeous animal, you know, and see the monkeys playing. I'm putting that out there in the universe. I'm going to manifest that, and, you know, I'm just kind of, like, I feel like something's on the horizon, and I'm going to try to clear out space in my life and make room for it and ask for awareness and confidence. And
you're already getting it, so it's already done. You've already gotten the opening. So you don't have to, you just, you know, for the next step to reveal itself, and you've already gotten divine purchase order approved. It's happening. It's going to happen, period. That's the way it is.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes.
That's the way it works.
Check out.
And so now it's just a matter of hanging out and being divinely fascinated with the way it arrives.
Yeah, yeah. And think about what animals I want to see when I'm there. And
yes.
How much fun
exactly.
it's going to be. I mean, it just seems really fun. So
it will be. It's going to be amazing. That's super exciting, really.
It is. So this work is so exciting. Is anybody else on the call yet?
Yeah. We have more people.
Oh, okay.
So are we ready?
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
So
good.
Thanks for that update, and you're doing great. All right. Hi, I think I had myself muted, you guys. I'm sorry about that. I think I accidentally muted the wrong person. I muted Christine, and instead of muting Christine, I muted myself. So I'm sorry for dropping off there for a minute. We're going to move on to the next person, which is Elise. Hi, Elise, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the call. How can I help you? Nope. Yeah, no problem.
I don't. No, exactly. I don't have anything particular. I'm just feeling a little overwhelmed. My cell phone got destroyed, so
okay.
And I'm in that kind of state where I'm like, okay, now this got messed up, and I'm feeling a little under the weather. So that's just.
You want to just listen today?
Yeah, probably, unless something comes up.
You got it. You just hit one on your keypad if you would like to talk, and otherwise we'll just keep moving on. How's that sound? And welcome to the call. I'm glad to hear you, and I'm looking forward to having you on the calls in the future.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, here we go. We're going to go to Darla. Hi, Darla.
Hello, Zen. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing really good.
I'm not doing too bad either, except I've already cut myself off of this call once, and here I am back again.
That's okay. I muted myself for several minutes and was calling on people without them responding and didn't realize it until I was like, what is going on here?
By one of them? Anyway, find that I received the spirit-led email too late to figure out, and I got to come up with a better thing myself.
Okay, well, they are the second and fourth Thursday of the month at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Thursday, 3 Pacific?
Yep.
Okay.
So the next one will be next week, the 23rd, at 3 p.m. Pacific.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So let's see. I had an experience recently where I wanted to talk to Mike about something, and it wasn't any big deal. But he put his hand up to shush me because he was listening to the news. So my thought processes were that he'd already heard that news yesterday from somebody who'd phoned, and he probably could have heard it 10 more times that day. And I was getting ready to head to work. And I remember thinking, you know, we only have so much time to talk to each other. And I felt put out. And, in the scheme of things, it's not a big deal. And I am trying to figure out why I made such a big deal of it, but that was my thought process.
Okay. So usually when we have something big like that, it's a childhood trigger that's been hit. So, for instance, it does or it doesn't?
It does.
It does. Okay. Yeah, because, you know, we get these buttons put in, and so he's not allowed to treat you like you were treated when you were a child because he is your lover and your partner and your friend, and he should know better by now that that's not the way to treat you. But the reality is the dismantling of the trigger comes from you digging into your youth and knowing that that's not happening anymore. So I used to talk really, really fast, and I still do talk quite fast, but nobody's heard me in my teaching talk as fast as I did when I was a kid because I had the commercial break to say everything that I had to say about my day or school or whatever. We didn't have dinner together as a family because just the way our family was. We were always doing independent projects all over the place. And so my dad would tell me I could turn the volume down and go, what? And I'd be all blah, 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 blah. So that lasted into my 20s. I had to totally train myself to talk slower, especially when I was saying something that was important to me to somebody of authority, which is not the right time when you're in a sales situation to talk fast. So there's a piece, and so that's my point, is like we learn these little trigger things. So there's something about that situation, and it may not be the hand, it may not, I don't know what it is, but it's important to look at it. And then once you find it, talk to him about it first of all. Just sharing often. Whatever is unconscious, making it conscious changes it. It immediately changes the conversation. And it would be starting with something with, I have been really looking at why I got so triggered and, you know, about that or got so darned upset and made such a big deal out of it. And here's what it was for me, and I'm not putting it on you, but I just want to let you know I'm working on it and it may happen again while I'm working on it.
Okay.
And so I wanted to make you aware of it. And usually just doing that, the next time it happens, you know, the two of, and you tell them, I don't want you to comment or say, here's that thing that you said you do. Please don't do anything like that because it's hard enough to just admit that I'm working on something rather than to be shamed or have that kind of energy with it. It won't help me heal it. And but I do want to ask for your support and patience.
Perfect.
With me
Thank you.
If that happens again. And, you know, I'm feeling very vulnerable about it. And then the next time it comes up, you may find you catch it right away, most likely, because you're a very conscious woman. You may find that you catch it right away. And also the other thing is the two of you will be able to laugh about it.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, is a real sense of irritation I had today. Bear in mind, we were on a street that was, it's wide enough, but he parked like 3 feet from the curb. And we were sitting there a half hour waiting for a store to open. And I'm just agitated and bothered. And I'm thinking, well, if I mention it, it's not like we're going to move.
Mm-mm.
And I asked myself if it was my problem. But the thing is, it came up in my throat. And so I was really feeling like I wouldn't have been heard anyway.
So throat closing is you, the thoughts you have about yourself are disempowering. You are disempowering yourself. Has nothing to do with
okay. The
other person or any. He won't listen to me anyways, and all that. And once again, this is something that goes back to childhood, and they sound very similar. So this may be something that's really up for you right now.
Okay.
If you think about it, you know, he didn't put his hand up, like, don't tell me about the curb, but you
nope.
felt that he did. And that was your intuitive, or it wasn't your intuitive. I'm sorry, but it was the way your mind interpreted it. I'm doing this. Don't
mm-hmm.
talk to me about it. I'm not going to change it. Right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay? So there's a couple pieces. One is I hear a theme that was same as the other theme. So you're going to, you know, just look at that for yourself. Two, there's controlling. Controlling behavior, because what you really wanted to do was force him to get to park closer to the curb.
Yeah.
That sound right? Right?
Yeah.
So that's being controlling of another person's behavior, whether it's overt or inner. It's still controlling. Controlling comes from us having a fear, being afraid. And in that fear, we want to head it off at the pass, so to speak, by fixing it, right? So
mm-hmm.
it can be with our kids. It can be with – we're going to hit controlling behavior in this course in a deeper way in a future module. So I just want to let you know you're going to get a full – because controlling behavior is one of the things that has us not get what we want in life.
Is it going to more here or in spirit-led? Or both?
In quantum. Quantum.
Okay.
It's in quantum. Yeah, so because being controlling, you're not allowing the universe to show up and give you its gifts, right? You're thinking that
okay.
you know more than the universe, basically. So I'm not going to go over that here because I don't think it's actually – wouldn't be beneficial in this particular situation. But here's the thing. You were probably afraid of, could be how others were perceiving you in the, you know, here we are sticking way out in the middle of nowhere. What are other people
mm-hmm.
thinking? Could be that you're thinking he's going to get a ticket,
yep.
right? Or cited or something,
both,
right?
Both,
which
both
there was probably
right
part of you thinking, good, I hope he does because then I'll be right. So there's the arrogance, but you might have heard that a little bit inside. So that usually does show up when you're in a controlling behavior. I know better than you, and you want to be able to say, see. And then the other thing is, you know, there's probably a part of you that felt like he knew that this was upsetting you and he was doing it anyways.
I think so.
Because he knows you so well. He knows it's pissing you off, and you're not, and he's not doing anything about it. And so there's another part of you that just wants to, you know, basically throttle him at this point. Is that right? Sound about right?
Yeah, accurate.
Yeah. And he's probably thinking, you know, on his own side, he's having the opposite of controlling is people having an anti-authority issue, because they're like, it's a free world. You can't control me. You can't tell me what to do. So he's sitting over there going, he knows he's parked 3 feet from the curb, and he sees your reaction immediately to it. And he probably would have readjusted his parking because you had a half hour to wait. But because you had that reaction, he's sitting over there being as stubborn as a mule, saying, I am not moving under any circumstances for this woman. Right? And it became this ridiculous place where the two of you were locked in a dynamic that was unpleasant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's probably other areas of your marriage where this happened. So it's really good that this is coming up over something as stupid as a parking place.
It really
not
is.
Stupid. I'll say silly. Because there's a lot of big things you guys can get locked into and not see it. The good news is that when you unravel it for yourself, it won't happen again.
Okay.
Okay? So the thing is to really take some time, and I've given you some of the possibilities based on
mm-hmm.
my own life and what my husband and I would be doing in that situation. You're going to have to look at your own and really look at what it was about it that had you feel fearful of something that made you want to control it, not just be able to let it go.
Okay. I will.
Okay? And that's what you want to address, and you're going to use the fear exercise to do it. Meaning, well, if that had happened, then what's the worst thing that could happen from there? And what's the worst thing that could happen from there? And what's the worst thing that can happen from there? And you go all the way down to you're at the bottom of the fear. Well, that's the worst thing. We could have gotten a ticket.
Okay.
Or a car would hit us.
Which really
right?
wouldn't have been mine anyway. Yep.
Right. So, but be honest about what the worst fear is, what the worst fear that was really there, and then you work it back up into a positive opening affirmation instead or statement instead. So he gets a ticket.
Okay.
The worst thing that happens is he gets a ticket. And then we have a fight all day because I say, see, you should have parked closer to the curb. Or, you know, I feel justified, and then he's mad at me because my husband, if he had gotten a ticket and I hadn't said anything but he knew I wanted to say something, he'd be furious all day long that he was penalized by the universe and I was right. Because he's just that way. He's just a turkey head and ruined our whole day. And I would have had to say, hey, just because you got a ticket doesn't mean you can ruin our day. So, but the thing is that there's something there that, and that is what you want to look at, because it's not the only place where that fear arises, okay?
I'll do that.
Yeah, it wouldn't have bothered me now, but years before it would have, and it would have been something more along the lines of having to sit there embarrassed at how far our car was away from the curb. And somehow how that would have reflected on me. And I'm like, you know, now I'm like, they're strangers, whatever. If they think we're idiot Parkers, who cares? None of my business.
And you know, the
but
big
before,
thing was,
it would have really bothered me, people walking by looking at this car sticking out in the middle of the road, not parking properly. What's wrong with us?
I was to have driven. I wanted to drive. I wanted to drive up and in front of the place and face. That was my
say
big
that again?
Issue. Is we weren't
your big,
we weren't parked.
Your big issue?
I wanted to my
you
thing
wanted
was we weren't
person.
Yeah, I wanted to drive because I knew where I wanted to park and we didn't park anywhere near and I didn't ask to go park where I wanted to park. Like, I just let it be because...
Because why?
The word is that. Well, because I think we would have ended up being exactly where we were anyway.
Well, okay, so this is really, really good. So I have a really stubborn, obstinate husband who is totally anti-authority and takes any suggestion or anything that I say as me telling him what to do, and in the beginning of our marriage, it was a real problem.
Okay.
So here's how I solved it, okay? Number one, we had to go through the fighting stage of just fighting over the fact that he wouldn't just do what I told him to do. But the problem is that I really think things through deeply, every
uh-huh.
little thing through deeply, before I do it. And so what I mean by that is, if we're going to move, I have the whole house packed in my mind in order with every single thing figured out, including how to get it in the truck and protect everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows up and hasn't thought about anything, right? And then he gets really frustrated because he doesn't know what to do and how to do it and all this stuff. So we're a good match, except for this anti-authority piece in him where he just hates to be told what to do. And that comes from his childhood, being bossed around the whole time. From 0 to 7, I mean, his dad told him how to feel, how to think, how to breathe, how to blink. And so he really has a problem with what he thinks is people telling him stupid stuff to do. So, you know, we have an issue. Well, what happened, how I solved it over the years was, I would say, okay, I've already figured all this out, and it's going to be really easy, and if you just follow my plan, it'll be over in a snap. And he would say no, and I would say, okay, you're in charge. Go. What do you want me to do? And he would get really angry and frustrated and stomp around and throw attitude and not really know what to do until finally he would say, fine, what was your idea? And I go, if we just go this, 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 and this. I mean, stuff like getting a big couch out of a house, right? I've got it out in my mind. I go, well, if we just do this, this, and this end goes up, and we put it here, and we twist it this way, and then we wrap it around this way, and I'm going to drop it over, and I'll hold it on this side, and it'll slowly drop it into the thing, and it'll go right around the corner. And then it's like a friggin' putting a shoe with a shoehorn on. It just does it, and he looks at me and goes, you're right. And over the years, he's
nice.
Gotten used to the fact, and so now he shows up with, all right, what do you want me to do? He still has problems as I'm actually telling him what to do. You can see it going down his spine like nails on a chalkboard, how much it's bugging him. But he controls that part of himself because he knows that I'm going to get it done as fast as possible so we can get back to having fun, because that's my whole goal. I plan all this out so it's easy and we can get back to having fun. That's my goal, not to be bossy. Right? So here's the thing, though, that I'm hearing from you. You gave up a long time speaking your piece.
Yeah.
And in the midst of it, you shortchanged your husband having some really, really great stuff from you. And that's really sad. Yes, it probably would have been, you would have probably had to figure out how to deliver it, and you probably would have had to figure out, you know, more about him, but that's just intimacy. Intimacy isn't always easy. Real, deep, true intimacy. Now my husband says, you know, I can never leave you because you're the only one who gets me. Because I sat there and figured out how to work with him on stuff like this. And I know, as I'm looking at him without getting upset, and sometimes I shake my head, he'll be like, what? Because I can see it in him. He's like, what? I'm like, you're just so mad at me telling you what to do, even though you're totally committed to doing what I tell you. I know! Ah! You know, and I'm like, man, I wish this was easier for you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it didn't feel like this for you. It doesn't have to, and I'm sorry. I just really wish there was a way for you to dismantle that feeling, but let's just get her done. And so he feels seen and heard, and I'm not trying to change him, and I've learned to work with him, and it took a couple years before he really got. And there's a lot of things in our life that it's a struggle for him that way. Because I have my IGS. I've never, ever tried to get him to use his IGS. It's none of my business. Someday, if he decides to, I've offered a couple times, and he said, yeah, I will. And then he doesn't do it, so I don't nag him or I don't try. It's sitting on the table. Every so often I'll be like, you know, this might help, you know. But that's good because I also am not coaching my husband and I don't have a student for a husband. It works for me too. And I
really
just stay
good
in my opening. But my point is this. Now, I'm not trying to brag about my relationship or anything. There's a lot of juice there along with the struggle.
Okay. And I appreciate
it. I'm sure your parking place is awesome, wasn't it?
Mine? Oh, yeah, I love where mine was.
Yeah, exactly. And he probably would have, too, if you had given him a chance, even if it had to go through the don't tell me what to do woman phase.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, he'll realize that that's a contribution that you have if you let him.
Okay.
You know, and then along the way, there will also be, you know, some struggle, and you're going to grow, too. You're going to end up, it's not a one-sided growth thing. You'll learn.
I appreciate that.
I learned not to get mad at him for this thing that he has inside of him that he really actually can't do much about. I mean, he can, but it's not his style to, you know.
And it sounds like it's all give and take, and I just need to
speak your truth. And it's not the only place in your life where you need to do that. This is a theme. I've heard it. And it's great.
Mm-hmm.
You have something to say, and you're not saying it. On a lot of different topics.
And it's important to hear you say it because it helps. It helps reinforce it for me. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you have a lot to offer. Especially with the kids you work with. And as an advocate for the kids you work with.
And there I feel it easy to talk.
Most of the time.
Yeah, most
depends
of
on the personality. It depends on the personality on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have more gumption because you really care about the kids, but even you can be usurped even then if you have the wrong personality that's conflict-driven on the other side.
True.
Or if
that's
you
true.
Feel the other person's swine and you're not going to give them your pearls.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And those are two egos. Both of those, including not speaking up, is your ego. And ego's not always like this, you know, Donald Trump-esque, running rampant, part of us. The ego can also be the insidious one that holds us back from accomplishing things out of fear. Your ego's afraid. It can be the one that thinks that it's less than or greater than someone else. Ego shows up in all kinds of crazy ways, from being overly humble to too, you know, arrogant. All along the gamut, anything your mind produces pretty much where you're not centered in your divinity is your ego. It's not so when somebody says, you know, that it's an ego thing, it's not always some negative personality trait. It's just what is. It's our minds have created a personality and a way of being that's our ego that keeps us separate from realizing that we're divinity, and we're working with it. Luckily, the IGS opening helps get us through the ego back to divinity.
And I was going to say, it's that opening that if I could catch myself to go into it at that moment would be huge.
Yes, it were, and you will. Eventually you will. The first is you got to make a decision that you're going to be committed to speaking up. Now here's the funny thing, okay? Let's bring this back to the manifestation conversation, because that's a great IGS conversation, but we'll bring it back to manifestation. You knew before you left the house that you should drive because you knew where you wanted to park. Is that accurate?
Well, we were out of town, so no. But as soon as we came to the corner where the place was, yes. I knew at that point that I'd driven.
Right, and where you wanted to park. And you also thought inside your head, he's not going to park there. So if I say something, right?
I realized it as he pulled 3 feet from the curb.
As he pulled up to the curb?
Yes.
So was there any precognition? That's what I'm trying to get to, because very often, in my life, I will want something, not ask for it, and then the opposite of what I actually wanted or was trying to avoid happens.
So it may very well have been. It may.
Seriously,
you know, it
it's ridiculous.
Accurate.
Yes. One time, so I have a very similar thing with my husband. That's why I think I'm sharing so much. But one time, we have a plastic wheelbarrow. I got it plastic. I should have got metal. But I got plastic because I put a lot of heavy stuff in it, and it's lighter. I've been using wheelbarrows all my life since I was a little kid with having horses. Anyway, so I got a plastic wheelbarrow. My husband got this very expensive piece of equipment. He was going to unload it out of the car into the wheelbarrow. And I'm putting my makeup on before we went somewhere in the bathroom, and I stopped and I was thinking he's going to break the wheelbarrow, and I go to look at him and he knows I'm going to tell him to do something, and he looks at me and goes, "What?" And I was like, nothing. And he goes, "Okay." So he goes out there, and the next thing I hear is cuss word at the top of the lungs, and I thought he broke the wheelbarrow. And he comes in the house, and I was like, "What's wrong?" "I broke the wheelbarrow, just cracked. I don't know why you got a plastic wheelbarrow." And I said, he never said anything about the plastic wheelbarrow before, but I was like, "Yeah, I knew that was going to happen." And he goes, "Well, why didn't you tell me?" And I said, "Well, because I turned to tell you, and you looked at me with this harsh tone and went, 'What?'" And I thought two things. Well, fuck you, number one. And number two, I'm not going to tell this scary person what I'm thinking. Both. And he was like, "Well, you should have. You really should have. You need to overcome that. You can't be, you know, a wimp about those things. You need to overcome that, and I don't mind the F you, but you've got to tell me right away when you see something." I'm like, "Honey, every time I do that, you do. No, you don't listen." He goes, "I will." He goes, I will. He's always really great afterwards. He's like, you know, "I won't do that again." And I know he's going to. And so I go, "Okay, well, from now on, if it comes up again, I'm going to say, 'Wheelbarrow,' when you start fighting and telling me how I'm wrong. I'm going to say, 'Wheelbarrow,' and then even if you go on your thing, I put it out there that I told you and you didn't listen." So now we have this great thing in our marriage where, literally, he'll start saying, "No, that's not true, I'm not listening to that," and I'll go, "Wheelbarrow," as he's walking out the door. And usually it stops him. He thinks about what I just said. Oh, here she goes again. I better double-check what she was saying and not ignore her just for the sake of my authority issue stuff. So, you know, there's ways to work with it, is my point. And it doesn't have to be unfun. It can be, you know, kind of funny between the two of you. And you can come up with a system. But the main theme is you've got to start speaking. And we won't know whether or not you created the parking problem. Are you still there? Darla? Hello? If you can hear me, people, hit one on your keypad, please. Hello? Okay, you can hear me good. Okay, Darla, I can't hear
you.
Can you
hear me?
There you go. There you are. Hi.
Oh, hi. I'm not sure what happened. But, yeah, I'll make that commitment to speak up.
Yeah, good. Good. I'm glad. And we'll see what happens.
Okay. I'll look forward to sharing some stories.
Come around the corner and go, I know this place. I have a great parking spot, honey. Or a place I love to park.
I will.
Good. Good. I think it'll benefit the whole world, you practicing with him.
Thanks a million.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. I'm going to head it to the next person. Great, great conversation. And Sylvia just got on. Give me a second, Sylvia. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. I'm on the freeway, but I can still listen well.
Well, you're the last person on the call. We've already gone through everybody. So do you have anything you need coaching on? Or you want to? I don't know if you feel comfortable talking while you're driving or if you don't have anything.
No, not yet. I'm just, I'll report next week or in 2 weeks on manifestations.
Okay, sounds good. That's awesome. All right, I'm excited. Give me a second here. Here we go. I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and then I'm going to just check in and see, is there anybody who has anything else they want to mention? Hit one on your keypad. I just put all the ones down so I can see if there's new. Is there anything that anybody wants to? Elise! Yay! Hi!
Hi. I just wanted to talk about the authority piece and not speaking up because I could totally relate to that.
Yeah.
And maybe a question would be, what would be a good practice for this? Because I tend to just keep my mouth shut because I was the one, I don't know, I feel like I just see things and I'm just like, no one will listen to me. That was my pattern growing up. No one would listen to me. And so I don't say anything. And I know that, like you said, it is ego. And I've been working on speaking up more. Also, right now I am staying with my parents who are elderly. And sometimes I'm not sure, like, are they at a stage where they're not going to change? Like, they really still are stuck in patterns where, you know, I don't think that they think I'm a kid, but they just don't want to hear what I have to say. So sometimes I'm like, should I just let them be where they're at? How do I check in with my IGS on that? You know, whether I'm just
that's great.
Letting them be. Okay.
Okay. So the first thing is the easiest way to ever check in with your IGS is to notice what you're feeling in the moment without going to like, oh, should I say something? Should I not say something? Not going back and forth with your mind. Because it just gets all confusing. You're like, I don't know. But if you have something to say, notice whether when you're thinking about not saying it, are you closed? Does it create an anxiety in you, a frustration, a worry, a stress, when you're like, I'm not going to say anything. They're not going to listen to me. If you feel closed, right, that thought is not true. So that means you do the opposite. That means it is important for you to say something. It is, and when you think about, wait a minute, I'm closed about not saying anything. Maybe I should say something. Maybe this is a time when I could be heard. Ooh, I opened. You'll feel a sense of ease. The worry will go away, the stress. It'll just ease, right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would imagine in your situation that everything you just said was true. There are places where they're never going to change. There are places where they don't want to hear it. There are but there are also places where they will begin learning to trust your input. It's a time in their life right now, as they're getting older, where they're going to need you, and they're going to need you to trust your awareness and your decision-making capacity, because they may come to a place where you are in charge of everything. So you speaking up in things that open you will give them the courage to trust that they're in good hands as they go forward, and it'll release and ease their anxiety and worry about their future.
Do
you know what I mean?
Sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine there's little things that you'll be able to speak up on that'll turn into bigger things in the future, and then there's some things that will just never change, And that's fine, too, because they're old and they don't need to put the energy into changing. Changing ourselves and our opinions and what we know is hard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People spend a lot of time and money on it. And that's just not where they're at. It's not easy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there's some things where it's just let it go, and it'll open you not to say anything. This isn't going to make any difference anyways. You know,
mm-hmm.
They don't need to change here. They're fine. They're at the
yeah.
end. There's nothing to learn here in this subject, and it's just fine. There's tons of times when I'm hanging out with my relatives where something will come up, and I'll be like, I don't need to say a word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it opens me. It wouldn't make a darn bit of difference, and it's not necessary, and there's other things to talk about. So just keep using your IGS. It'll open you not to say things sometimes. It'll open you to say things sometimes. All of it. I imagine, though, there's going to be a lot of little things that come up, and it'll build a level of trust and awareness. You know, I know my dad started listening to me on things like health, you know, natural products to take and things to do and little things like that, and over time it grew into having a deeper level of trust.
Okay. I have one more question. It's semi-related. I'm stuck in the middle, like I think they call it the sandwich generation or the sandwich, I don't know, time. Because then I also have a teenager who, yeah, he has the capability to change, but he's in those teenage years. He doesn't want to listen to his mom. So I guess just use the same techniques for him.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, I think that we have a very false perception of our teenagers. So I don't
yeah.
have a teenager. I have a 3-year-old, which is actually, from what I hear, kind of like having a teenager, though, the threes. But
mm-hmm. yeah.
I think that and this opens me, so you got to check it out for yourself. But parents' capacity to see their young person growing up and knowing which decisions to keep in their hands and which decisions to hold back. And there's a struggle going on, and if we had the IGS, it would be a lot easier. Same thing. So, you know, an example I use is I had a mother who, her daughter, leaving the house in an outfit that just was like, whoa. And so she went to say, you're not going to get out. You go upstairs and change your clothes. And she closed. And she was like, oh, my gosh. And so the question that she asked was, is this any of my business? Closed. So she just, bye, Mom. And she just was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. Bye, honey. Right? And then she called me later. She said 2 weeks later, she never saw her dressed like that again. And 2 weeks later, she asked her, hey, honey, what happened to that short mini dress you had? And she said, oh, I borrowed that from so-and-so. I gave it back. And she goes, why? You were pretty in it. You looked really a lot older, but you were pretty in it. And she goes, you know what? I didn't like the way people looked at me, Mom, when I wore it.
Mm, yeah.
Now, the inkling would be to go and control the behavior. And, you know, that's why I'm saying the IGS is so important, because I can't tell you. But the inkling would be to go, like she said, make her go upstairs, change her clothes. Then she would have shoved it in her bag and tried it on later and wouldn't have noticed what other people were thinking, because she was too caught up in the fact that she's going to do what she's going to do no matter what, and her mother doesn't respect her decisions, and she can't even dress herself, and doesn't she know how old she is now and how smart she is and how she can do all the, you know, and the whole conversation would have been different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every kid's different. So there probably is a situation where it opened to say, go back upstairs and change. Let me check your bag on the way out to make sure you don't have it. You know, then the next time the kid would just throw it out the window and get it, because they're going to do what they're going to do. You know, and do you get an opening to tell her why she, you know, I'm going to let you wear that dress, but I just want to let you know, sweetheart, I'm concerned about the kind of attention you're going to get in it and that it's dangerous. Does that open you to say that? So please do me a favor. I'm not going to tell you to take it off because I respect you, but I'm going to let you know right now. Please call me every 2 hours to make sure you're okay, because it worries me. Other people out there are not so great. Ooh, Mom. And then she's going to go out and be aware, and it's going to, you know, so I don't know. Every kid is different. So with your son, it's going to take some just checking in about what you're doing, what you're saying. And I wouldn't, you know, does it open you? He doesn't want to hear it from his mom?
It feels like a mix. You know, sometimes he wants feedback, and then sometimes he's just really
wanting. No, but you said, I'm talking about you and your IGS, you said he doesn't want to hear from his, or he doesn't want to hear from his mom, basically, kind of thing. Did that open you?
Okay, that's the question I'm asking?
Yeah, yeah. When you say that, does it open you? Do you feel open, or do you feel an anxiety or a frustration inside? Don't ask it as a question.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Say, he doesn't want to hear from me. What does it feel like?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think you helped me clarify. I don't know if this is a question, but I guess what it comes back to for me personally is I tend to be, I am the person that wouldn't say anything about the outfit because I'm like, okay, that's their lesson.
But hold on. Okay, so you just glossed over it.
Okay.
This is going to be really important. So number one, because you're new to the course, right? So number one, the bonus of this program is the Revitalize Your Life program. So, and it's in your bonus area. Go start there. Do that course first. Because
okay,
it's going to get you in, it's going to get you into using your IGS, okay?
So then
we're going to go back. You're going to, and it'll walk you through the listening practice, feeling your feet, your hands. So go ahead and feel your feet right now. We're going to walk you into listening practice. Feel your feet, your hands. And just relax and listen to the room around you, space you're in. And just hold the thought, my son doesn't want to hear my advice. And notice how your body feels. First sensation, what comes up? Do you feel light and at ease, or do you feel a tension and a tightening?
I feel light and at ease.
Okay, so he doesn't want to hear from you. You're open.
Okay.
Now, the other thing that I would ask you to do is feel your feet, your hands, and your tailbone, or your listen to the room around you again. Feet, hands, and listen. Is there a way that I could have my son want to listen to me again? First sensation, do you feel light opening ease, or does it feel tight?
Feels tight.
Okay. So you're in a position where he doesn't want to hear from you. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that it's just this is what he's going through and that he needs to not hear from you.
Yeah.
That he needs to figure it out on his own. That it's really, you know, and you'll see if that feels opening to you when you hold the thought, that it's really he's trying to figure out who he is, and it's hard to do when he wants, when he's thinking about you or your happiness or disappointing you or any of those things, the pressure of it.
Yeah.
It's very hard for young men with their moms because they want to be their own people, but yet they really, really care a lot about hurting their mom's feelings. Most boys do. Girls don't. Boys do, right? And so it may be it's really time to kind of back off and trust him and that when he needs you, he'll let you know. But it's part of him becoming a guy, a man, not being mothered. Do you know the difference between mothering and smothering? It's a great example I got.
I want to hear your example.
Will say, sweetheart, it's cold, take your coat outside. No, mom, I don't want to take my coat. Okay. A mother says, sweetheart, it's cold, take your coat. No, mom, I don't want to bring a coat. Sweetheart, really, I think you should take a coat. I know what I'm doing. I know you get cold, honey. You get cold on these things. Take this coat. Don't take it. Take the coat. You're going to get cold. That's smothering, right? And so mothering is just caring and saying, hey, honey, blah, blah, blah. And if they don't make the decision, they'll go out, they'll get cold, and when they come back, they'll be like, shoot, next time I'm taking a coat, you know? Yeah. And it's a difference, but it's really important with boys. The mothering, smothering thing is really important with boys.
Yeah, okay.
It undermines their manhood if you smother, and it helps them feel cared for if you mother.
Okay.
Yeah, so start with the Revitalize course. I'm thrilled to have you in this, and this is a good piece of IGS work to do about your son.
And so for the Revitalize Your Life, is there calls too? Because I don't think I get notifications
for
those.
There are. You have to sign up for those too, and it's in the Revitalize bonus package, the link to sign up for the Revitalize calls, and then you'll get notified. They're on the same day as these calls at 2 p.m.
Yes. Yes, I do remember that. Okay.
Cool.
Great.
Awesome. Welcome to the program, and I'm happy to have you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're going to go to Megan. Hey, Megan.
Jen, how's it going?
Good. I think I called on you when I was muted, and then I didn't think you had anything to say, and I forgot, so I apologize. I was not trying to skip you.
Oh, that's okay.
Glad you hit one, because then it went, wait a minute. Yes, yes, we still have Megan. Hi.
I couldn't tell if my phone was on a different whole situation. Anyway, hi. I have a quick question for you. I mean, we're talking tomorrow, but, you know, what I've had over the last couple weeks are these really great opportunities to notice myself spinning about different issues. And I've been trying to use my IGS, which gets complicated when I don't know why suddenly everything's getting so noisy. Okay. I've been trying to use my IGS to unpack how I'm feeling, but I'm so triggered that all I feel is that anxiety feeling.
Okay, so if you're that triggered, if you're that triggered, everything you're thinking is not true.
Right. So I've been trying to tell myself that, and you have an activity on that where you kind of write down, like, to just get it out of your head, write down everything that's on your mind, and then go back later and check in with your IGS on it. And that's definitely helped. But then I think in Module 5 you were talking about if you're really triggered, the other thing I've been trying to do is imagine the opposite and kind of feel that and feel gratitude for that and try and basically stop the negative thinking and the negative feeling by infusing more positive thought or kind of that alternate thought. But I think you said in that module that that's not the right time to do that, that you're kind of still attracting the negative. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that. You know what I'm talking about?
So you can't – your mind is hijacking you, okay? That's what's happening,
right?
And it's hijacking you – in a big way, right? Big way.
Right.
So you can't just change the channel. If you go watch a movie or read a book, it's just going to come back the second you walk out of the movie, or you may not even be able to pay attention to the movie. Even if you call a friend, you're going to end up talking about it. Like, there's just no way around it, right? So I don't have any modules on this in this particular genre because I want people to only follow this advice if they're in course, like in a deeper course and they've used their IGS like you have. But my recommendation for you, if you're being hijacked like this, is to go deeply into the pain with the statement of, everything I'm thinking is completely and totally wrong. How in the heck can everything I'm thinking be so wrong? And really look at the pain. Where have I felt this pain before? What? Because it's a childhood trauma being triggered.
Okay.
All right? Even the way you want to react to it will be the way you would have reacted to it as a child. So, for instance, my big thing, and it never, ever, this strategy has never, ever, ever, ever once worked for me, and it's still my strategy when I'm in the place that you're in. I don't use it anymore, because I know it never, ever works, is to pick up all my toys and go home. Or another way to say it is, fine, I'm taking my beautiful ass away from you. You won't get me anymore. And they always go, fine, and they clap their hands together as if they're done with me, and they're happy as pie, and I'm the one left with nothing that I wanted happening and miserable. And it's the stupidest strategy, but that's my strategy that I got when I was a kid, and it would work as a kid because I'd take myself away from my pain for a couple of hours, go run away, nobody would notice, and I'd come home, right? Or whatever it was, stop being friends with somebody at school and go be on my own, and soon some other friend would pick me up. But it does not work in the real world, in relationships, in jobs, with big family members or best friends. It doesn't work. So, but that's my thing. So you're in the pain, and everything you're thinking about this is wrong. So your childhood brain is analyzing it wrong, and it's really time to look at, well, what could it be? Instead of going for gratitude or any other stuff, what could be wrong about my thinking? Everything's wrong, and your mind is going to say, no, you're not wrong. It's true. They disrespected you, or they did this to you, or they did that to you, and it's going to be throwing all this stuff up. You go, okay, I'm going to take every one of these. What is possible? I'm wrong. The statement is wrong, so what could be possible? They're not disrespecting me? what is the process, you know, like, and just what is the next thing, and like really turning it around. And what will happen is at one point you'll come and you'll find what a statement that is opening. And it'll be like a light bulb going off and a cascade effect will happen and the whole thing will fall away and you won't feel that way anymore at all. It'll be like the biggest aha moment.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
For me, my big one was I thought my dad didn't love me. I had a lot of proof. You've probably heard this story before because I talk about it a lot. One day I'm driving to Christmas in my 20s, thinking my thoughts, super, 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 super closed, torn up, hating going there, thinking of all the past situations and all the ways my brother's the chosen child. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so closed. That means everything I'm thinking is wrong. How could that be? I have all this proof. And the thought that I figured out driving up I-5 from Southern California to Sacramento was my dad didn't know how to be the father of a girl. And it opened me, and everything made sense. He failed over and over again, and he finally quit. And then when he quit, I just convinced him of that every time I cried or was upset or he didn't do it right. I just was more convinced that he just didn't know what to do, that he was never going to get it right, and he quit. And I see his quitting and not loving me. So I started teaching him how to be a good dad of a girl, and it worked. Hey, Dad, here's the 5 gifts I'd love to have. I'd be totally happy with any of them. Oh, thank you. I don't have to figure it out and have your face look at me like, oh, my God, you've got the wrong gift again, Dad? Don't you know anything about me? Right? Like, that poor guy was set up the whole time. I didn't know I was setting him up. He didn't, you know what I mean? So look for it. You'll find it, and then all of a sudden you'll know exactly what to do. It'll feel so much better.
Okay.
And it'll be, like, a massive good thing.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. Thank you. That was all. I just wanted to get the clarification of that moment because I was like, well, wait a minute. That's normally what I do. But, yeah, just, you're right. When you're hijacked, when your mind's hijacked like that, there's really no undoing that. So.
You're wrong. That's the hard part is because you feel right. I mean, I do. And most of my clients do. When they're in that moment, they feel wronged or there's an injustice or there's this thing is so real and they are absolutely convinced that they've got it right. And that's the moment where you go, well, if I'm this hijacked for days on end, I got it all wrong.
Yeah. And I'm quite convinced I'm brilliant all the time. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's
me too, by the way. You are brilliant all the time. Honestly, I think that about you. Just the way you took this coaching moment is brilliant.
Okay.
All right.
So just to unpack it, that makes sense. Thank you. That's what I needed.
You're welcome. Awesome. Okay. Well, that's the last person for today. And so what I do now is I go back around and see if anybody has anything else they want to add or jump in here. But so just hit one on your keypad. If there's a little bit more, it's perfectly fine. We have time. If not, then I'll open up the call and say goodnight. But I have time. So hit one on your keypad if there's anything you'd like to say. All right. And I am going to hit everyone's mic so we can all say goodnight to each other. Goodbye, everybody. Good night. Have a lovely evening. Spring is almost here. Bye.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Bye.